2 weeks ago, I started a series on Easter. And I asked the question, what is Easter? And the answer to the question is, Easter is the time that Christians celebrate their deliverance. First, we looked at Easter through the eyes of the disciples. They were looking for a conquering king, yet they got a sacrificial lamb. They were distraught, only to be emboldened through the resurrection. Last week, we looked at how Jesus viewed the cross before and after as a man. Jesus had emotions, yet he did not respond in accordance to his emotions, but to the will of God. This week, we're going to take a look at Good Friday. Good Friday, what is so good about it? Good Friday starts in the Garden of Gethsemane. Last week, we looked at Gethsemane through the eyes of Jesus as a man, but this week we are going to look through the eyes of Jesus as God. Just as Jesus was fully man, Jesus is also fully God, the hypostatic union. Some say that Jesus never claimed to be God personally, but he did. Listen to John 8, 56 through 58. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. When Jesus said that I am, he was repeating the same thing that God said to Moses at the burning bush at Mount Horeb, when Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. I am Yahweh, and that's the Hebrew name. And the Greek, he says, I am Jehovah. Not only did Jesus claim to be God, but he also accepted worship as God. Matthew 28:9, after the resurrection. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice. So they came and they held him by his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Jesus didn't say to them, don't worship me, stop worshiping, for I am not God. Every other account that we see with an encounter with an angel and someone went to worship them, even with the temple, when they went to worship the apostles, they said, I'm a fellow man. The angel says, I'm a fellow servant. Only God is to be worshiped. And we know this is true because God says that you shall worship none other, for there is no other God but me. It isn't that I think that some of us don't understand that Jesus is God, but I don't want us to overlook the significance of Jesus being God. I don't want us to overlook the significance of Jesus being God. Last week, we looked at the fact that disciples all fled when Jesus was taken captive, and Peter denied Jesus 3 times before the rooster crowed. But we looked at this from the point of Jesus being a man. As a man, he must have dealt with some strong emotions. But he was also abandoned and denied as God from those who knew him best. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, we'll be looking at verses 13 through 17. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Which, by the way, is a reference to his deity. So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? This is the apostles that will be apostles, the disciples. Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. The disciples knew that Jesus was God because he asked all who were there, and Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said that he was right, and that it wasn't flesh and blood that revealed this to him, but God the Father. God the Father confirmed that Jesus was the Christ, that he was God. So they were well aware that Jesus was God. They had full knowledge of who Jesus was and still abandoned and denied him. So I ask the question, what is so good about Good Friday? Not only was Jesus abandoned and denied by those who knew him best, but he was also rejected by the very ones he came to save. Listen to what Jesus said to the woman at the well in John 4:22. "You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." Jesus came to the Jews. Not only did Jesus come for his people Israel, but they knew who he claimed to be. I mentioned John 8:56 through 58 in reference to Jesus claiming to be the I Am. Listen to the response of the Jews when Jesus made another claim of being God in John chapter 10, verses 30 through 33. "I and my Father are one." Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "Many works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself to be God." And the funny thing about this is that Jesus, the Old Testament said that Jesus was going to come and he was going to heal the sick and he was going to give sight to the blind and he was going to enable those who were deaf to hear. When John asked, "Are we to look for another?" he said, "You see the signs." The Jews knew what they were looking for, and they knew he was going to be God. Now let us look at them and their treatment of him hours before his crucifixion. Turn now, if you would, to Matthew 26, verses 62 through 68. And the high priest arose and said to him, "Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?" But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to him, "I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." They knew. Jesus said to him, "It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming in the clouds of heaven." That was a vision of absolute power of the Almighty God. Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look now, you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think?" They answered and said, "He is deserving of death." Then they spat in his face and beat him. And others struck him with the palms of their hands, saying, "Prophesy to us, Christ. Who is the one who struck you?" They struck and spit in the face of God. They wanted to kill him, but couldn't. So they handed him over to Pontius Pilate. Turn now, if you would, to Luke chapter 23. They spit in the face of God. Now keep in mind that Jesus has, at this point, been up all night. He was taken sometime after 6 p.m., which is the beginning of the new day for the Jews. Peter denies him three times before the rooster crows, which means that it was somewhere around 3 a.m. in the morning. Jesus has been up all night, and this is what we read in Luke 23, 1 through 5. "Then a whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, 'We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar,'" a lie, "saying that he himself is Christ, a king.' Then Pilate asked him, saying, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' He answered him and said, 'It is as you say.' So Pilate said to the chief priests in the crowd, 'I find no fault in this man.' But they were more fear, saying, 'He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place." Pilate saw no fault in Jesus and sends him to Herod. And we see in verses 6 through 12 that Herod found no fault in Jesus as well, and then sends him back to Pilate. Look, if you will, at Luke 23, verses 13 through 25. "Then Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, said to them, 'You have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people. And indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault of this man concerning those things which you accuse him of.' No, neither did Herod, for I sent you back to him, and indeed nothing deserving of death has been found or has been done by him. I will therefore chastise him and release him to you, for it was necessary for him to release one of them at the feast. And they all cried out once again, Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas, who had been thrown into prison for a certain rebellion made in the city and for murder. Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus, again called out to them, but they shouted, crying, Crucify him! Crucify him! Then he said to them the third time, Why? What evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. But they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. And the voices of these men and the chief priests prevailed. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested. And he released to them the one they requested, who for rebellion and murder had been thrown into prison. But he delivered Jesus to their will. This was the custom of the Jews at Passover. And John makes this clear in 18:39 and 40. But you have a custom, this is Pilate, but you have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews? Then they all cried again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas, for Barabbas was a robber. Turn now, if you would, to John chapter 19. John chapter 19, looking at verses 1 through 4. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. Then they said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they struck him with their hands. Pilate then went out again and said to them, Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. And some have thought that he consistently tried to appease him before killing him. And so he continuously tried to say to them, Is this enough? But sometimes we can read things without giving them much thought. So let me now give a picture of what we have just read. When the Bible says that Jesus was scourged, it means that he was whipped with a whip that is like the cat of nine tails. Within each strip of leather, there was either bone, clay, shards of clay, or metal woven into the ends. The man who was whipping Jesus, or whipped those who were to be crucified, was a professional. They would take the person who was being whipped, in this case Jesus, and they would have a stump that was rounded, and they would round the man over the stump, and then they would cuff his hands and his feet to the stump so he couldn't move. Or they would have a big round post and they would wrap his arms around the post and tie his hands around so that his back was fully exposed. And the man, as he whipped, would whip so that all nine or however many of the straps would wrap perfectly around his back. And I know we see movies where it's the snap of the whip that cuts. But in this case, you would wrap around the back. And as you pull back, you would pull those shards of clay or bone or metal into his skin, ripping his skin to pieces. A matter of fact, after 40 lashes of this whip, there was not one piece of flesh that you could see. It was just raw meat. After he was whipped, he was handed over to a group of soldiers where they put on him the crown of thorns. And these thorns were about 3 inches in length. As a matter of fact, these thorns were common for kindling, for starting fire. And they put these thorns of crowns on his head. You know, the other night, actually it was last night, Haley had a little thorn in her foot. I'm trying to get that thorn out, and she's not liking that too much. I finally got it out. The thorn was about an eighth of an inch long. It was sticking straight up into her foot. And so I know, I'm saying, if I don't get it, you're going to walk on it. It's going to hurt more and more and more. Let me get it. 3 inches. They pushed down onto his head. That wasn't enough. He took a club and they struck him on the crown, driving those 3-inch thorns deeper into his skull. Then he was handed over. At this time, he was handed to a garrison, and the experts say that a garrison consisted of about 600 soldiers. Now, I don't believe that there were 600 soldiers at this point that surrounded Jesus Christ, but I think there was a good sum of men who surrounded Jesus and twirled him around and punched him and spit on him. Isaiah 50, verse 6, I give my back to those who struck me and my cheek to those who plucked out my beard. I did not hide my face from shame or spitting. They ripped his beard out of his face with their hands. A handful. Anyone who has hair, and one of the things that we've done joking around is just pull a little bit of that hair in the back. That hurts. Grabbed a whole fist full of hair from the face of Jesus and ripped it out. His back was so ripped, as I've already said, that you couldn't find a piece of untouched skin. Isaiah 52:14 says that Jesus was beaten so bad that his appearance didn't resemble that of a man. You couldn't recognize who he was. He was beaten so bad. After the beating, he was then crucified. They put him on a cross and dropped him into a hole, at which point the body would have taken such a jolt that it popped every single bone out of joint. Jesus was in agony. They pierced his hands and his feet. Every time that he wanted to get a breath, he had to push up on his feet that were nailed to the cross and his hands just to get a breath. Crucifixion was with the purpose of suffocating those who were on the cross. So to get a breath, you would pull up. Now I have to ask you the question again, what is so good about Good Friday? To answer this question, we must turn to John chapter 19. So if you would, turn to John chapter 19, looking at verses 28 through 30. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine. But it was on hyssop and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Good Friday is good because Jesus died. That's why Good Friday is Good Friday. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who seek after God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I wasn't going to have you turn here, but I will. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Good Friday was good because Jesus died. If we don't see it now, we will see it by the end. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 18. Therefore, when he came into the world, and this is in reference of Jesus Christ, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me, and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volumes of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. He's talking about the priest and sacrificial system. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifice which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant that I make with them as though after those days, saying, the Lord, I will put my law into their hearts and in their minds I will write them. Then he said, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. What is so good about Good Friday? Jesus died. Romans chapter 4, 25, who? Jesus, being delivered up because of our offenses. He was delivered up because of our sins. Romans 5, 6 through 11. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Hebrews 9:22. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. There was no way to ever have eternal life apart from the grace of God demonstrated through the death of his son, Jesus Christ. I have mentioned many times in the past, it wasn't the way that Jesus died that was important as much as the possibility that he could die. But at the same time, it is amazing that God would come down in the likeness of man to give himself over to his creation to be tortured and put to death in the manner in which he was put to death, so that we had and have the chance to have eternal life. Friday in Awana, Vicky was teaching on love and asked the kids if their brother or sister took their punishment for them, what were they doing? And the answer was, they were showing love. Some kids said that they wouldn't want their sister or brother to take their punishment for them because they deserve the punishment. This is true, and this is true of us. We deserve the punishment of eternal death, but because of God's great love for us, he provided another to take our punishment for us. What is so good about Good Friday? Nothing if we don't understand the purpose of the death of Jesus Christ. But because we do understand the meaning of Good Friday, we can rejoice in the fact that God sent his Son to die for us. And through his death, we were restored to a relationship with God, and we have the assurance of eternal life. That is what's so good about Good Friday. Let's pray.